This is Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous, the radio program that challenges the anti-aging cultural narrative for women in midlife. Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous is produced at CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus-based community station at Simon Fraser University, which is located on the unceded ancestral homelands of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam peoples. We broadcast a new episode on the second Wednesday of the month between 10 and 11 a.m. I'm Robin Erickson, and I talk with women who are aging outside the beauty myth and into their power, honoring their experience and celebrating their strength. This is episode number one of Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. And today, my guest is Michelle Pollard. Michelle is a firm believer in lifelong learning. Mid-career and mid-life, she quit her job, moved across the country, and obtained a master's degree in a field completely different from the one that she had worked in since her mid-20s. At 50, she is beginning a new career and is getting married for the first time. Michelle never felt the maternal drive to have children, and marriage was not ever a priority. She has no regrets about the life she chose and is happy that at 50 she embraces life to the max with a rich social life and a strong supportive community. She still enjoys nights of dancing and has been known to attend a summer festival or two. Thanks for joining me, Michelle.
You're most welcome, Robin.
How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Great. I'm excited. This is episode number one.
What an honor.
Of Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. And just before we get into, you know, sort of the conversation of things, mm-hmm. I'm curious if there's anything in the title of the show that resonates with you.
50-ish and Fabulous totally resonates with me. That's how I feel, actually.
Amazing.
I'm very happy to be 50, honestly.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back for anything, really.
No.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm curious about, because, you know, there's a lot of words that could be the third threat. You know, fabulous is just one. Is there a word that you might choose as the replacement for fabulous?
Fierce. Yeah.
I like that. Well, we're going
Am
to
I
be.
Am I allowed to swear?
No.
Okay, I won't swear.
That would be too fierce
okay.
for the CRTC.
Of course.
So our conversation is, you know, to sort of break down the status quo narrative out there mm-hmm. about women who are aging. And what we think in our lives is possible, and what we're discovering is possible. Mm-hmm. Are there things that you've done recently that before you turned 50 you thought that you couldn't do?
I think, well, getting up on a stage with a microphone and speaking to about 200 people, I don't think it's something I would have done probably until now, yeah. I've always been terrified of public speaking, and I feel that I have, as a 50-year-old, I just have more confidence, and I care less about what people think of me, so there's no pressure to impress people, really. Having said that, starting this new job, I do actually feel some need to impress people because I want to keep this job.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't really care what people think about how I look or how I carry myself, I think. But I still want to perform well and be appreciated for doing a good job.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, you know, in our human nature to want those things. Mm-hmm. Is there something that you can sort of put your finger on that shifted or changed that mentality?
Not really. It's sort of like a gradual process, I think, that probably started in my 40s. I can't pinpoint a certain time. Not off the top of my head anyway.
I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you though, one thing I've noticed in this new job of mine is that I think I actually am the oldest person in the office, which tells you how young the people in the office are. But most of my colleagues are women, and they're mostly in their mid to late 20s. And I do notice that women of that age, at least in this field that I'm in, or the women that I talk to at work, they're a lot more confident. I feel like they don't have the same confidence issues that maybe women of my generation do, because of maybe what our mothers experienced as women in the 50s and 60s. So I think a lot of the women that I'm working with whose mothers are probably my age, they're not affected by that as much. And so they don't really have any hang-ups about, or insecurities, you know what I mean? Like, being a woman to them doesn't inhibit them from being successful or doing well, if that makes any sense.
Right, yeah, no, it does. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I don't have children either, but, you know, if I did, I could have a 20-year-old, I could have a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely how I've been brought up in the world that I've been brought up in, the sort of status quo for me is different. And so I would have raised, you know, my children with mm-hmm. some different values, mm-hmm. you know, and definitely a different perspective on things.
I mean, my mom was a feminist, and she placed value on our intellect and being educated and, you know, pushing boundaries. But I think her own life, it was ingrained in her that she, you know, she's a woman. She can't do math. She can't do science. She can only do psychology or domestic studies or teach or be a nurse. So she didn't have those options. And she's even said to me, wow, I don't know what I do with all the options you have. She says she doesn't think she could handle it. And
right.
I'm like, Mom, this is what you worked for. This is a result of what your generation did. So that's really interesting.
That is. How do you feel like you're breaking the rules of being 50-ish now?
Well,
do you feel like you're non-conforming to the status quo? And in what ways? Like,
several ways. Well, for one thing, not getting married until now, not having children, starting a new career, starting a new career beginning in my early 40s. The process began anyway. But the job is actually just recent. But, I feel like most women my age, for the most part, would be married and have kids and have an established career. But I chose just to live my life the way I felt I wanted to. So I've done a lot of traveling, and I attend a few festivals in the summer, and I have a group of people around me that are, like, I have this really strong community of women around me, and we're all in our 40s and 50s, and we're all still having fun, and we're all very creative, and we have, you know, we build a community together, we have creative outlets, and yeah. So I have friends that are, you know, I see we're all growing old together, so that kind of is comforting to me.
Yeah. One of the things that you said there about, you know, being 50 and having fun and mm-hmm. being creative, it seems like such a strange thing to have as sort of breaking the rules. Like, you know, you turn 50 and all of a sudden you can't have fun, you can't laugh, you can't have a good time anymore. It seems absurd.
You can't have a social life. You can't go out and party. I mean, I don't party like I did in my 20s, but I, you know, I still like to go out and dance my butt off, and so does my partner, who's also in his 50s, so I feel like 50's like the new 30 in some ways.
In some ways, but I also think that when we talk about aging in that way, mm-hmm. we're kind of on this slippery slope, right? Because... Mm-hmm. You know, playing into that idea of anti-aging, mm-hmm. I don't think does us justice as we age.
Right.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. I just don't feel like, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm framing it as anti-aging. Because, I mean, I have wrinkles, I have gray hair. I'm not trying to hide it. I having said that, I do look young for my age, but I can attribute that to not having kids, I think. But, you know, of course, I have in the past looked in the mirror and said, oh, my God, I've got all these wrinkles, I've got this gray hair. And then you just get to the point where you're like, it doesn't matter. In the end, I'm going to decompose into the earth or become ash, depending on how I decide to rid my body of my body, rid the earth of my body.
Right.
So, yeah, it ties back into that, again, caring less about my appearance and how I appear to other people. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I can certainly... you know, that certainly resonates with me, but, you know, I put eye cream on.
Also do I.
You know, like I do. And I don't know if I'm going to stop doing that just so that, you know, I can further non-conform to the status quo and, you know, break the rules of being 50, but,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I wear probably less makeup now. And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, I definitely do from, you know, when I was in my youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that was also, you know, the time and the place. Less script for makeup now in a lot of ways. Than when I was mm-hmm. a kid, or when, right. When I was a young person.
There seems to be a lot more makeup out there, though. Like, when I think, if you've ever gone into a Sephora store, like, oh my God. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm curious, you know, just talking about sort of breaking the rules and mm-hmm. and non-conforming to being this age and aging as a woman. Do you think that there's something that women are foolish to do at this age, or, you know, what would make a woman who's 50 or yourself look foolish? What's the most foolish thing that you could do?
The most foolish thing I think you could do would be to start smoking cigarettes. But other than that, I can't think of anything. Yeah. foolish. I was going to say dating a younger man, but that's not foolish.
No, the celebrities are doing that all over the place.
Yeah. Jumping out of an airplane, I think that's foolish at any age, personally. I can't think of anything besides smoking cigarettes or, yeah.
But I think that's foolish at any age.
Well, true.
Also.
But it would be more foolish as a 50-year-old woman knowing more. I don't know. Yes, that's true. So then, I don't think there should be... foolishness is foolishness no matter how old you are. Really.
And that age doesn't really play into it then.
No. No, I don't think so. I mean, I might be foolish to go out in a little mini skirt and some high-heeled stilettos, but I would find that, I think 20-year-olds who do that are foolish too. Well, maybe not mini skirt, but definitely the high heels.
Bad for the feet.
Bad for the feet, bad for the back. Bad for everything.
Yeah, I'm curious about this idea of sort of foolishness in light of, you know, what the decorum of someone who is, you know, supposed to have sort of an air of responsibility and, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing around them, or, you know, to be a role model and mm-hmm. you know, how foolishness plays into that, you know, and how we either embrace that or
I don't know,
not.
Maybe the framing things in the status quo, maybe there would be, someone might say that a 50-year-old woman shouldn't have long hair or shouldn't, you know, go out to a nightclub or, but I don't ascribe to that kind of thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
No, me neither particularly.
No.
You brought along a couple of songs to play for us, and we're going to take a song break and then come back.
Okay.
Bjork.
Well, she's an original.
Absolutely.
And I have great memories of the time in my life when her music was really popular in the 90s, sort of when I came of age and, you know, found my people and my culture, I guess, in that music. And I just, yeah, she doesn't play by the rules. I think she's really probably inspired me throughout my life, beginning in the 90s. So, yeah, I have a special place in my heart for Bjork.
As many people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're absolutely right about someone who doesn't and has not ever played by the rules. A true original.
Yeah.
So, Big Time Sensuality is the track we're going to hear. And then we'll be back with my guest, Michelle Pollard, here on the first episode of Triple Threat. Feminist, 50-ish, and fabulous.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. I have my guest, Michelle Pollard, on the phone. Do I have you on the phone still?
You do. I'm still here.
Okay. You're just a little bit more in the tunnel than you were before.
You sound a bit tunnely as well.
Yeah. Uh-oh. We're going to have a little bit of a hiss. Okay. Just adjusting. This is the beauty of, you know, radio. just figuring out as you go along, kind of like life.
Right.
So, my apologies for the squeaky sounds. All right. I'm curious to know from you at this stage of life if there's anything that you're aiming to understand.
Hmm. Oh, dear. I've given up on trying to understand things. Sometimes, I mean, I do question our existence and why we're here on this rock in the middle of infinity. But I find if I think about that too much, oh.
Uh-oh. Sorry. Okay. Oh, hello.
Hi. Sounds a bit better.
A little bit better. Okay. Yeah. Let's start with at this stage of life, what do you aim to understand?
Yeah, like I said, I'm kind of giving up trying to understand things. But I do question our existence and why we're all here on this rock in the middle of space. But I find if I think about that too much, I tend to go a little nutty. So I'm just trying to enjoy my life and see what happens when it ends. I'm kind of curious about that. I'm not really scared of dying. I'm just kind of curious about what's out there after, if anything. Or is it just like nothing, like it was before birth?
Those are the big questions.
Yeah.
You don't just have little questions. You have, like, the giganticest questions.
Well, you know, you kind of figure out what's important as you get older.
Yeah, there's definitely something about mortality that, you know, when you hit the half century mark,
yeah,
it really becomes part of your reality in a way.
Yeah, it's a shift. You're closer to death than you are to birth, I guess.
Yeah, or
so
at least
that shifts your thinking quite a bit, because you realize life is so short. Why worry about the small stuff?
I remember my mom always saying that to me, you know, don't sweat the small potatoes or, you know, whatever the saying is. And it just seemed so kind of trite back then. Mm-hmm. But really it's something that as I age, becomes clearer in my mind why she was saying that, but also what it really means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you think about what you were like as a teenager when every little thing was just such a drama or an ordeal. And I'm glad I'm over that.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Question questioning and curiosity about things is one of the things that I think helps keep us young and, you know, they definitely, the quintessential they people, you know, talk about how, you know, being curious and, you know, keeping our minds active, help to, you know, mitigate dementia and Alzheimer's and all of these deteriorating things about our brains. What role does curiosity play in your life now? And how can you compare that to when you were younger?
Well, I think, so going back to school in my 40s, I really had a better understanding of what I was interested in, and so what I was curious about, compared to being, you know, 18 years old and entering university and trying to figure out what you're going to be for the rest of your life when you have no idea what's going on. So, yeah. I think curiosity is very important in feeling young at heart. I think that's why I feel so young at heart. Still wanting to learn new things and experience new things. And yeah, I think it's really important just to have a rich life, no matter what age you are. But again, as I said, because this realization of how short life is, you want to experience as much as possible.
Are there things that you want to do or try that it's sort of now or never?
Yeah, I want to do a lot more traveling. There's some talk of us doing a cycling trip around Europe. There's parts of the world I haven't seen that I'd really like to see. Like Europe, I guess. yeah. Yeah. And I'm also just fine with chilling at home.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, I want to go to Spain and see Gaudi's architecture. I want to go to lots of places and see lots of different things.
Yeah, so mainly traveling. Is what you're curious about. Yeah. You're curious to see new places, experience new things,
other cultures. I've always been a lover of traveling, but I feel this urgency now to do it again because of the shortness of life.
Is there a place that specifically, other than Spain and seeing Gaudi's architecture, which I would also love to see? Oh my goodness. Just, that would be so spectacular. But anywhere that feels, yeah, like that pull, I guess.
Yeah. Can't think of any specific place off the top of my head.
No.
No. I would definitely like to see, I know this sounds cliche, but the pyramids are fascinating to me. Egypt is fascinating to me. I don't feel like I can do that when I'm older than, say, 75. So maybe that's in my future as well.
How did you attach that number to it?
I don't know. Just off the top of my head. I don't know. I was thinking about my mom. You know, actually, the number that actually came to my head was 80. But then I was just being a bit more conservative. I was thinking about my mom and how things have started falling apart, like, physically. She's in great shape, but I don't think she can be traipsing around Egypt in her 80s. But you never know. For me, anyway.
Yeah, we're a new generation.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. Although yeah. My dad's going to be 80 this year. Mm-hmm. And he's always traveling here and there, and I can hardly get him on the phone. He's got so many things that he does. Mm-hmm. You know, volunteer this and plays in this band and you know, plays for the choir and plays for the dances and does all these things. Mm-hmm. But I also think that for men, mm-hmm. that idea of aging is a little bit different than it is for women.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, and how it looks and what we're invited to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'd be curious to, you know, ask my dad if he tends to feel as invisible as an older woman might feel invisible. Yeah. I don't know.
But I wonder if he would care.
And or care as much. Yeah.
I know I don't. I have a sense of freedom about being invisible, actually. I don't like that kind of male attention anyway. So.
Yeah, it gives us more opportunity to just, you know, be authentic out of mm-hmm. the spotlight, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And say and be who or what's more true, rather than trying mm-hmm. to fit into the mold of what society is giving us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not just about being invisible to men, though. It could be about just feeling invisible in general to younger people, because we've become irrelevant to them. But I feel like maybe millennials are a little bit more respectful of older people and, I was going to say tolerant, but understanding. But that's just a sweeping generalization. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. And they get a bad rap.
It depends on sort of what community you're in, too.
For sure.
Like, I feel like at least the community I'm in is very open-minded, and there's all different ages. I have some friends that are 20 years younger than me. Which is great, because I don't have kids, so I'm hoping they'll take care of me.
Well, I hope that too, if it comes to that.
Yeah.
getting back to you know, this idea of curiosity and, you know, keeping our minds open as mm-hmm. as we age. How do you do that? Do you feel like you have a more open mind than you did before?
I would say open mind, yeah. I think as I get older, I'm also more tolerant, and really strive to put myself in other people's shoes and be more compassionate towards other people's existence and how they live their lives and the trauma that they've been through. Because I think everyone has a story, and I think it's worth sort of thinking about that.
Well, and recognizing that, you know, as small potatoes, we're not the only story.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of opens us up to be able to hear other people's stories and appreciate the fact that there are other stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I guess on the flip side, you know, you get to a certain age and you've seen that, you've done that, you've been there. Yeah. How do you keep from feeling jaded or bored about things? Do you feel jaded and bored?
I don't at all. I don't feel bored. I might feel jaded about, say, a nightclub scene or something like that, but I just wouldn't put myself in that position.
Right.
Definitely. I'm, like I said, I have a rich social life and the creative outlets and a new career. So yeah, I'm not bored.
Sounds like things are very fresh.
They are. I like to keep it that way. We'll see what happens in the next 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what, another thing I'm curious about. Like, what is it going to be like? And what is, like, what's the future of our planet? And, you know, the work that I'm involved in, is it going to help? And I hope that I can make a difference somehow. But I sometimes wonder if it's too late.
No.
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 I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not too. I want to come back mm-hmm. and pick up a little bit on, you know, making a difference and how you might recognize your purpose in life and how you, how that balance between self-interest and the collective good gets reflected in life at this age. And so we're going to listen to the other song that you brought along today. This is a track that I'm unfamiliar with. So oh. I'm always excited because I'm like, oh, new music, cool.
Yes, the Throwing Muses are Tanya Donnelly hooked up with Kim Deal from the Breeders. Kim Deal from the Pixies, and they came together and formed the Breeders. So this is pre-Breeders, again, 90s music, girl band. I mean, that's one of the things I loved about being in my 20s and the 90s, is there's a lot of great music, and then there was a lot of music that was women only, and so this music reflects that.
Cool. This is a track called Honey Chain.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're listening to Triple Threat, Feminist 50-ish and Fabulous. My name is Robin, and my guest today on the first episode of this show is Michelle Pollard, and I hope I still have you on the phone.
You do.
Okay. Oh my goodness, and your audio is back to being wonderful. Go figure.
Who knew?
Who knew? Technical wonders.
Muses.
Yeah, that was a lovely track.
That's very reminds me of the Pixies a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beachy California sound. Surfer sound.
We have been talking up to this point about, you know, different aspects of aging. You know, it's the roles and responsibilities and sort of breaking the rules of aging and what that looks like and how we keep from feeling bored or jaded, you know, and keeping an open mind and being curious. And I want to explore just in the last 10 minutes or so, what purpose and goals look like for you now at this stage of life?
Mm-hmm.
Has midlife redefined your goals or helped you define your goals and your purpose?
Not much of a goal-oriented person, to be honest, but I feel like my purpose now is to like do as much as I can to deal with climate change, and climate change adaptation I think is really important, and the field I'm in now is really dealing with that, which is why I'm so excited to be in it. I guess my career goal, I guess maybe would be to be a more senior person and like manage a bunch of people, but I've never been much of one to set goals like that. I just want to live and retire somewhat comfortably, I hope. That's my goal. To do what I can to save the planet and then retire comfortably.
I think those are totally good goals for this age. I feel like I share in that, you know. I want to be able to do what I can for our planet and mm-hmm. you know, have a decent retirement, even though I'm not mm-hmm. sure exactly what that looks like, you know.
Yeah.
Working in community radio hasn't made me the richest person on the planet.
But you're serving the public good.
But I'm serving the public good, and certainly it gives me a lot of satisfaction to be able to bring people's voices to life, mm-hmm. you know? And so
I think it's a great job.
Yeah. One of the things that you mentioned just before the song break, mm-hmm. we were talking. And you had mentioned something about, and I'm paraphrasing, striving to be more compassionate. And you were talking about how, you know, at this stage of life, you feel like you have more tolerance and you're just generally more tolerant. And I'm curious about, you know, our relationship as aging women to ourselves, but also to our community, mm-hmm. and what that starts to look like if it's different than it was. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, for me, I could definitely speak to it being different and what that is. How about for you? I feel like it's one of those big questions.
Yeah. Can you go back a bit to the beginning of that question? You were talking about tolerance.
Yeah, you had mentioned
for others, right?
Yeah, you had mentioned that, you know, one of the things about aging was about tolerance. You were more tolerant with things, with people.
Yeah.
And more, you know, you were able to express compassion and walk in other people's shoes more easily. And yeah, I guess I'm curious where the balance is between self-interest, but also that collective good.
Right. Well, I think sort of what I said about my purpose in life now at this stage is to do what I can to save the planet, which is, you know, the common good, and my self-interest, which is to be able to retire comfortably. I'm not sure how that relates to my relationship within my community. I guess I have a very large community of people around me, and they're all very different. I think from being around this community, I've learned to be more tolerant and compassionate. Not only from people in my community that sort of live that way, but also just being able to deal with a large group of people and their differences and their quirks and quirks, and, you know, really trying to understand why people are the way they are, to put it into perspective, and to be more, you know, I guess, peaceful and harmonious. I think that's something to strive for, too. In my younger days, I still have a temper, but back then I had a really real anger management issues. And I feel like as an older adult, just thinking about how other people operate in the world, and that really sort of lessens my anger, my feelings of anger towards maybe some people. That makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I think it I think it does. And it strikes me sometimes, because I think as a young person also, you know, I felt angry. And sometimes that was because my own personal power, I felt like I didn't have any.
Right.
Or I didn't know how to sort of use it and wield it. And so, yeah, I want to just end off our conversation today by asking how you understand your personal power now. What is that to you, to have personal power?
Power. I don't know what that is to me. Like, I guess to have the power to change the way people think about things, or, you know, I was telling you how I was giving these walking tours of Olympic Village to point out the green infrastructure that's there, and this power to be able to educate people was really satisfying. And, you know, as a younger person, I probably wouldn't have had the courage to get up there and start talking about these things. So, and like I was saying at the very beginning, with having this huge fear of public speaking, and now realizing that, oh, I can use this public speaking to educate people. And I think you and I together were in that microphone workshop, and I was terrified of using a microphone. And when there was a point at which I had it in my hand, and I was like, oh, this is power.
Right.
And it was really, really eye-opening. I surprised myself. So yeah, I think as a younger person, I was afraid more. And I think that's lessened. So that makes me feel, I think, more powerful, for sure.
That's amazing. Well, I think you're powerful.
Oh, thank you. I think you are, too.
Thank you. That's That's it. That's our time. I want to thank you, Michelle Pollard, for being my first guest.
You're welcome.
On the show, and sharing a little bit about your daring and curiosity and some of the wisdom that you've gained with us over the last 50 plus years. And of course, thanks to you for listening. This is a program that you will hear every second Wednesday of the month as part of Intravenous, Triple Threat, Feminist, 50-ish, and Fabulous. You can connect with me at Aging with Imagination on Facebook, where you'll find links to the audio archive for this show. And you can also find them at cjsf.ca under the program schedule Intravenous by Date. I'm Robin Erickson, and I have been your host. See you next month when we will continue to challenge the anti-aging cultural narrative for women in midlife. I'm going to leave you with a track that is just so fun. This is The Power of Yet.
Ready, get set with the power of yet. Break it down now. There's no mountain you can climb. It just takes a little time. Cause you got what it takes. Just learn from your mistakes. Try and try again. And one day you'll step up and then you try to add and you get the right answer. You sang the song and you be a great. And that is what you get. And that is what you get.